Welcome to a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a very sporty top five for you. See, what is that top five?
Oh, wow. I don't know what it could possibly be.
What could it be?
We're doing our top five favorite sporty spice moments.
That's right. So get ready, kids. There's a lot.
We're doing our top five favorite sports movies.
Tis the season.
Of sports.
Of sports. But guys, there is so much podcast to get to. Let's shut up and get to the show. Steven, do I look larger to you? Maybe a little more muscular?
No, certainly not.
Well, I'm not surprised because today was the first day I started working out.
Bullshit.
I will not see your bullshit, sir. In fact, I refuse it.
What did you... Tell me about your workout here.
Okay, for the last few days, you know, because the weather's starting to change, the cold weather blues are starting to set in. So I decided that I'm going to start doing things that are good for me. I've been trying to meditate regularly for the past few months. I have, and today I decided, for the past few days, I've been researching workouts I can do at home. Things like push-ups, crunches, reverse crunches, tricep dips. Things like that.
Look at you using your new terms.
Yeah.
Tricep dips.
Yeah, you
sure,
like that
bud.
Shit?
Sure.
So,
what are you doing tricep dips on? Your chairs?
The couch that you're sitting on. I put the
knees?
Cushions up. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not lying.
I see a smokescreen here.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I've tried the workout thing from home too.
Mm.
I just hate working out, period. So
I do, too. Notice I said this is the first day.
Yeah.
It might be my last day.
Yeah, that sucks.
But just trying to work out makes me realize just how out of shape I am.
What a horrible realization that is.
It really is.
Yeah.
I tried to do, just like 10 regular push-ups. Couldn't do it.
Yeah. You want to know another sobering physical reality? Try chasing after your dog, like in a field, or have her chase you.
Mm-hmm.
Just go. Just sprint. Just go. See how long you can go, even at like 80%, not full tilt, just really a fast pace. See how long you can do that.
Ooh, I'm guessing not far.
No, I'm guessing I'd give you like 100 feet.
Well, Steve, as we both know, I am surprisingly slow.
You are shockingly slow.
Yeah.
But it's not about the speed. It is about the amount of effort you are exerting. That is the key.
Are you grouping us together in this, or are you just saying, Wes, you suck at running?
Oh, no, you're awful at running.
Okay.
No,
but are you awful, too?
I'm not as awful looking running as you are.
God. You are the worst right now. I tell you, I started working out, you say immediately, bullshit. You immediately start in on my goofy ass run.
Yeah.
You are the worst best friend I have ever had.
Oh, but I'm totally supportive of your decision.
Yeah, clearly.
I'm totally supportive of this.
Great. Thanks, man.
Hey.
Glad to have you in my life.
Anything I can do, bud.
Yeah.
By the way, you really should start working out. You look terrible.
I know. No, but for the past few years, I've been trying to get healthier. I've been eating better. I've been trying to cut out some bad habits of mine. And actually, over the past few years, I've lost 50 goddamn pounds.
Which is crazy.
Which is crazy, because I've never been like a large dude, but I went through like a chubby phase in my mid-20s. Now I'm 30, and I actually think I am skinnier than I've been since I like started drinking back in college. You know what I mean?
Now it's time to add on the muscles.
That's right,
dude. I can't do working out because A, I don't want to do it.
Yeah,
but I get my like blood sugar swings so much that if I don't eat correctly before working out, I will start working out, and then in the middle of it, my body will just be like, powering down right now.
Yeah.
And I'm just like done. I am 100% zapped of everything. I'm like, I just can't even talk, and I want to go to bed right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
I know. I'm going to be honest with you and the podcast listeners. I started out with like just doing 10 reps of everything. My final set was 5 reps of everything.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just couldn't. I had to bargain with myself to do that.
Yeah. It's tough, man.
It's hard, man. And like I said, I don't know how long I'll keep this up. today might be my last day working out.
Yeah, it's definitely good. I would recommend to you go on YouTube, and there's basically just like free workout video kind of things that you follow along with and do those, which are good. Yeah, it's
tough, man.
Very tough, but good for you. Good for you.
Thanks. There's the Steve we all know and love.
No problem, you bag of dicks.
There we go. We got to find a happy medium.
So I've been working out as well.
Yeah?
My fingers with my PS4 controller.
Oh, yeah?
A little bit. I've been...
I was going to say, your fingers look great.
Thank you. Thank you. They can just go for days. Just for days. Yeah?
Nope.
Yeah? Okay.
No.
I've been playing Fallout 4. I've had it for about a week now, and
I've been hearing some bad things.
I'm having a little trouble really getting into it.
Here's what I've heard, and you tell me if this echoes your experience. I've heard that it's a fine game by itself, but there's a lot of bugs, a lot of glitches, and I've heard that the perk tree is just god-awful.
Yeah, the perk tree is a bit confusing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when you find these new settlements and whatever, you can essentially start creating things on these settlements. You can plant things for them, these people to come and harvest, and you can create new shelters. But it's not like. I am now going to put a barracks here. Or you build them with walls and then put a roof over it and put beds in it and whatever. I'm like, what? Why? You can concoct potions. And I know that's more of a direct thing from the Elder Scrolls stuff, is making, upgrading your weapons and your armor at benches and creating these potions and stuff. But they didn't do that in Fallout 3, which I kind of appreciated. So this one, I'm like, now I feel like I have to collect everything even more than normal, because it's part of the potion for this fucking thing.
You gotta play like me.
And it's definitely not bad so far, but I don't feel like there's a huge graphical leap from, the 7-year-old Fallout 3 on PS3 to this version on PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it looks better, but it's not phenomenally better. And a bunch of the enemies that I'm coming across, because obviously my guy is still very low power, I don't have really great guns, anything like that. And these guys I'm coming across, they're very difficult to defeat right now.
Mm-hmm.
there's basically this kind of mutated bear thing. It's one of the animals that's there.
Sounds terrifying.
So I was like, oh, okay, I've got a couple a shotgun that's decent. It's been cleaning house with these guys. All right, I know this thing's in an area. I'm just gonna fucking shoot this thing in the head and kill it. And I shoot it point blank with a shotgun to the face, and it loses maybe 6% of its health. It's like, oh no! It's like, I don't have enough ammo to kill it. And so then another one comes running out of the woods, and two of them are chasing me. I don't have a gun to kill them. And you go, you have a companion that's a dog.
Yeah, and dog meat, right?
Dog meat, yeah, which is great. Except when dog meat just keeps getting in the way of bullets. So you have to go over and give your dog a stim pack thing, uh-huh, so he helps you. But I'm like, I need those stim packs for me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one point where there's an unmanned turret, machine gun turret, and I'm hiding behind these poles or whatever, and I pop out and I shoot, then it rotates and I pop out and it shoots, and dog meat just hangs out in the open area, and the thing just blah 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 blah, and it just stands there. It's like, dog meat, get the fuck out of there! What are you doing? So I command him to come sit by me, and he's like, "Yeah, don't worry, I'll stay right here." Dog meat? What? No. It's not. I'm not gonna write it off. I'm not saying it's a bad game or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying it is. I've put a little bit of time into it,
mm-hmm,
and it is not. I do not have that feeling of I can't wait for the podcast to be over so I can go home and play Fallout. Oh, I want to go play Fallout. I want to play Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'm not ruling it out. Just right now, it is not the totally immersive experience I want it to be right now.
Sure. That sucks to hear, man, because I know that you loved Fallout 3.
Love Fallout 3.
And I know that you were super excited for this game to Fallout. or this game to fall out
right out of its shirt.
That's right. For this game to come out. And yeah, man, that sucks.
But I am very excited about the let me try this again. We've talked about this before, but I'm excited about the possibility of what Battlefront could be.
Sure.
I'm horrified that it will be nothing of what I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And just basically a Call of Duty with Star Wars stuff.
Sure.
But that is now out, so I'm going to try to red box that and give it a go before I... Because I'd like to purchase it if it's actually really good and my wife and I can play it together.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be super awesome, but I am skeptical.
Okay.
So hopefully next week I can tell you about that as well.
Have you seen any gameplay footage of it?
Yeah, I watched some of the beta stuff.
Sure.
Now that it's been released, I haven't watched anything. I haven't checked the reviews on anything yet for it. Really, it's just going to come down to, no matter what the review says, it's going to come down to, can my wife and I play it together and have fun?
Yeah.
And if that can happen, I'll probably buy it. If okay. not, that'll be that.
Okay, fair enough.
That'll be that.
Well, I'm going to talk about something that's almost unprecedented for this podcast.
Did I mention I'm starting to work out?
No, I'm playing a game that is out currently, this year.
What?
Yeah, it's the Game of Thrones Telltale game. But still.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the final episode just came out yesterday, and
okay.
I haven't had a chance to play it. But I caught up with the last couple episodes prior to the final episode over this past weekend. And dude, let me tell you, the penultimate episode ends with the hardest choice ever.
Really?
In a Telltale game.
Okay.
Because, you know, you play through these Telltale games, and even the tough choices, you can usually make a snap decision, and you can feel good about it. Like, even if it sucks, you can say, well, the other way probably would have sucked more. You know
sure.
what I mean? And at the end of every Telltale game episode, you have the percentage of how many people chose what you chose and how many people didn't choose what you chose. And usually they're kind of skewed one way or the other, like 80-20, 70-30. I remember I looked it up today because I couldn't remember this dude's name. But I remember in the first episode of the first season of Telltale's The Walking Dead, you had a choice to save this hot chick named Carly or this flabby white guy named Doug. And I think approximately 130% of people chose to save Carly because the main protagonist has a chance of sleeping with her. I don't think anybody was like, I really like this Doug guy.
We got to get Doug. We got to keep Dougie boy.
Yeah, I want to see where his character goes.
He said, I want Cheetos more than anything.
Oh, God.
Why did we keep Cheeto Doug?
Old cheesy Doug.
God. And Carly's like, oh, my God, I just love being naked all of the time out here by myself.
Oh, dude, spoilers for the game.
Oh, sorry.
I think even the voice actor for Doug's family chose to save Carly.
Let's get rid of cheesy Doug.
Oh, cheesy Doug. But... So the penultimate episode of Game of Thrones, episode 5, the final choice happened. I paused the game and I walked around my apartment for, I'm not going to lie, it was over 5 minutes.
Wow.
Just like, I went to the bathroom, I got a glass of water, and I really had to take stock of like my choices up to that point, and I really had to decide. I had to make a decision. I don't want to say any spoilers. I'm going to keep it vague, but I had to make a decision. And
how does it sit with you now?
Narratively, it made the most sense.
No, I don't care about narratively.
It sits with me fine because, you know, I'm all about the narrative. And it makes the most sense. But, like, there was no good choice. There was just no good choice. I'll feel shitty either way, dude. And at the end of the episode, the split was 54-46.
Oh, really?
It was like, there's no good choice, dude.
Cool.
So it was, cool. I highly recommend it. It's a great, I love the Telltale games. And,
I know you do.
And yeah, man. So where got that to look forward to.
Where does that rank now in the Wolf Among Us, Walking Dead?
Seasons 1 and 2.
Yes. Where does Game of Thrones rank in that?
It's Walking Dead Season 1, Wolf Among Us, Game of Thrones, and Walking Dead Season 2.
Okay.
Like, they're all great games. They all tell great stories, but I like them for different reasons.
Yeah.
But Game of Thrones, it kind of falls into the trap of the Game of Thrones TV show, where they just try and do too much. You follow all these separate characters. So, and especially because they release episodes months apart from each other, every time you start another episode, you have to remind yourself, okay, what the hell is this character doing?
Who is this guy?
Who is this supporting character that she's talking to? Do I like her? Do I not? What's going on? So, it's still a great game, but it's not as high up there as the other ones.
Sure. So maybe it would be beneficial to play that on one disc sort of thing as opposed to the series that you did.
Yes.
Okay.
Again, I recommend it.
Cool.
So there you go, man.
All right.
That's what I'm playing.
All right.
So we took a quick break over at Five and Out Studios, and during the break, I looked up, should you choose to save Cheesy Doug in the first season of The Walking Dead? Doug expresses regret that Carly is dead, but doesn't blame Lee, claiming that this is just survivor's guilt. He still wishes Lee chose Carly instead of him. Him and the rest of America. Who chose to save Doug? Nobody.
Cheesy Doug.
Old Cheesy Doug.
Cheesy Doug.
Anyway, there you go.
There was a quick little moment at work I wanted to run. Partially a little quiz, partially a little story.
Good. I love quiz stories.
Yeah, especially about stuff you don't know about.
Yep.
Makes you look dumb.
Mm-hmm. I
your
love
favorite.
Things.
So it was Monday morning. It was 8:45 in the morning, and I'm next to one of my best friends, coworker, person who's been on the podcast, Dan. And for some reason, this gem from the 90s, this musical gem from the 90s, popped into my mind. I've not thought about it in, I don't know, 10 years. And keep in mind, I work in a place that sells and rents construction equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind. So, 8:45 in the morning, and I look over to Dan and I go, who sings this song? And I start singing the song. He's like, Dan immediately knew who sang it, and he and I started doing a little duet of this song together, kind of quietly over on our side of the area. But so here's the question, Wes.
Okay.
I'm going to start this, baby. I want to see if you know any of these words to this song or if you know what the hell I'm talking about.
Okay.
Do you know the song Want You Back by Take That?
Can you sing a little bit of it?
Whenever I'm wrong, tell me a song and I'll sing it. You'll be right and understood. Want you back. Want you back. Want you back for good. Do you not know this song?
Nope.
Oh my god, dude, you're missing the jams. This is the boy band that Robbie Williams was in before he became Robbie Williams,
sure,
international star. It's just this cheesy as fuck boy band song.
Mm-hmm.
And just want you back. Want you back. Want you back for good. So, and you have to go into falsetto to sing this part because he does this really high part. So it's our big burly friend Dan. He and I working at this construction rental place going, whenever I'm wrong, tell me a song and I'll sing it. And he's like, and I'll sing it.
No, Dan doesn't sound like that. Dan,
we're working on the layers. We're working on the harmonies on it, you know?
Well, it's always a surprise to me when I hear Dan sing because he's a big, burly dude with his huge, bushy beard most of the time and sometimes a shaved head. And then he'll start singing, and it's like a child Michael Jackson singing.
Yeah, it's a higher range voice. It is a surprise.
It is.
So, and Dan and I, we know nobody else where we work sure as hell doesn't know what this song is. So we're trying to do it quietly. Whenever I'm wrong, tell me a song and I'll sing it. And we're like, want you back?
Yeah.
Oh, want you back? It's like, what are you guys doing? Nothing.
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 Talking about hammers.
And roast beef.
Roast beef.
Want you back.
Want you back.
Want you back. Roast beef. So just so I sent that to a couple of my friends, like the YouTube link. I was like, hey, remember this jam? And they're like, oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my text message to all Five and Out listeners. If you were a child of, growing up in the 90s, do yourself a favor. Take that trip down memory lane. Listen to Want You Back by Take That and enjoy yourself.
Speaking of 90s jam hits, so on the radio show last night, we had a karaoke contest.
Oh,
We brought in four actors slash singers around Chicago, and they wanted me to open it up and then sing just a goofy song. Can you guess what song I picked?
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R.
Close. It's, You Are My Fire, one...
No.
Desire, believe.
Yeah, I get it.
When I say I want it that way.
Did I tell you about the I think it's called the riff version of that song?
No.
It's so freaking funny, dude.
Yeah?
So basically what this is, it's basically bad lip syncing, essentially is what they do. So they took a version of that song. It was when, like, Backstreet Boys was doing, like, a reunion thing maybe, I don't know, 5-6 years ago.
So. Who asked for that? And,
apparently, all the girls we grew up in high school that were now turning 30, and they're like,
yes! Nick! These dudes are, like, 45!
Yep. So, they're performing the song on Oprah. So, it's five dudes, you know, the Backstreet Boys. And
they're
like,
all portly now.
I mean, yeah, and they, you know, definitely gained some weight on some of them, you know,
sure.
And whatever. And so what they do is they basically just take the audio out, and this guy just does different voices. And whenever he adds these different sound effects, whenever there's, if they make some sort of, like, head gesture, he'll just make a sound like, yeah. You know, like, so it's, I think it's called the riff version of it. And so he just does weird voices, but he still sings the actual song. So the guy that's all, like, tattooed and pierced and, you know, whatever that guy, I forget what his name is, whatever, that dude.
Did you ever know what his name
is?
I
think his name is AJ?
AJ?
I think.
Who, that's probably a name of some dude in a boy band.
But when it, since he looks like this big, creepy, gross, fat dude now, when it, he's actually Cheesy Phil. Cheesy Doug.
Cheesy Doug.
Cheesy Doug. He, like the other guy, and he's like, yeah, nah, nah. And then it gets to him, and he goes, yeah. But then they cut to all the women, and they're like, yes, yes, yes. It's seriously, it brought me to tears, dude. Especially when they do the, like, the part where they crescendo up at the top, like, don't want to hear you. Like that part, he just totally misses the notes on purpose. And then one of the guys does this little, like, head. He's like, yeah! It's phenomenal, dude. I'm going to show it to you after the podcast.
Oh, my God. I want to see it now.
Okay, let's watch it right now.
Seriously?
Yeah.
TV timeout?
Yep.
Let's do it.
Wow. Hilarious, right?
That was amazing.
So Backstreet Boys, Total Shreds.
That's right.
S-H-R-E-D-S. Look it up now. It is amazing.
I will say, I'm surprised a lot of them still look pretty good.
Yeah, I mean,
they're still looking good.
Right.
Except the one dude in the middle who's got the long hair, like the peach fuzz, goatee, and mustache.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He looks like somebody's creepy uncle.
Yeah, yep.
Just creeper.
So there's a whole series of Total Shreds. You know, the same thing where they dub over a terrible voice over the video.
Mm-hmm.
You got some tears in your eyes too. You're crying as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it brought me to tears.
Yeah, it's hilarious, mm-hmm. man. But a bunch of them are very funny. The Beach Boys one is hilarious, but this Backstreet Boys one, man, it gets me good. It gets me real good. But anyway, so I just wanted to share that with you all.
All right. Well, sir, how about we get into some emails?
Yeah.
So last week, our top five was our top five Bond villain-esque death traps.
Yes.
And we got a few emails written in. We only have time for two because of the nature of the emails. The nature of the top five, excuse me. So we're going to start out with our good friend Brian writes in. He says, his number five, the mob-like trap. Bond wakes up on a cargo plane with cement covering his feet. The villain says, time to sleep with the fishes, Mr. Bond, then kicks him out of the plane 300 style.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
His number four is the not the bees trap.
Oh, no. Is this from the Wicker Man?
You'll have to see. Bond wakes up in a tube similar to those money cages, but without a door. The villain finally reveals himself to be Nick Cage. The plan is that the tube will fill with tons of venomous bees. If that doesn't kill him, after a certain time, a flamethrower will go off shooting from the floor of the tube. As Cage leaves, he says, "Now you know my pain, Mr. Bond. Even I hated that stupid movie."
Oh, no! Not the bees! They're not stealing your honey!
His number three is The Bond Trap. This one is a little graphic, but I thought would be poetic justice. Bond wakes up tied to a metal wheel. Attached to the circle is a giant gerbil feeder filled with stirred martinis in an automatic moving fleshlight. The idea is that eventually we'll die from exhaustion, alcohol poisoning, and or dehydration. Killed by the things he loved.
That's hilarious.
His number two is the VR trap. Bond wakes up to see he's in a classic shark-related trap. He escapes and runs back to M. Here's the thing. When the chair gets turned around, it's the villain in M's place. Bond has been in a chair hooked up to a VR system. The plan is to keep him there until he dies of malnutrition. It gets worse. If Bond tries to enjoy himself and bang all the virtual ladies, right as he is about to climax, the lady's head turns into that of the villain. He then just simply says, "Hello, Mr. Bond."
Ugh, that cruel.
Is cruel and horrifying.
Oof.
His number one, the 100 traps trap.
How meta.
Bond wakes up in a room loosely tied to a metal slab without shoes. He's in an empty room with only loose Legos on the floor. He escapes that room to find another room that is slightly harder. There are 100 rooms. Each one gets harder and harder to escape. The last few rooms have Saw quality traps.
Wow.
So it's kind of like he levels, or like, you know, it's a 100 level video game.
Okay.
All right. I dig that. Good list,
yeah.
You sadistic bastard.
Let's stay on his good list if we can.
That's true. Okay, that was a wonderful list, Brian. I'm going to murder your name. Joachim Brack walks in. You want to give that a...
That's good with me.
That's good with you?
Yep.
All right. His number... These are a bit longer, so I'll try to... But they are worth it. His number five... After an anonymous tip, the police enter James's apartment. They find James Bond passed out in bed with next to him a dead woman. James wakes up with the murder weapon still in his hand, and he is taken into police custody right away. Even though he pleads innocent, all the evidence is pointing towards him. After a short trial, James is deemed guilty and has to spend the rest of his life in a maximum security prison, a prison that is filled with all the criminals that he has put away over his career.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. His number four, James Bond opens his eyes. "Good morning, James." James looks around to find the source of these words. He sees a man whose face is hidden in shadows. The man steps out of the shadows, and it is revealed that the man is none other than James Bond himself.
What?
"I hope you like the new face, James. You are now the most wanted man in the world." The fake Bond grabs a mirror and brings it closer to James's face. "That's not me. What have you done to me?" James murmurs. "What do you think, James? I took your face off.
Starring John Travolta.
So the bad guy took James's face and traded it with his own. Then he lets James free to be hunted by the authorities, the most wanted criminal in the world.
Man, sounds awesome. Maybe we could make a movie about it.
I don't know, Steve. It might not work.
I mean, maybe we could involve Nick Cage this time.
Maybe, but who would direct it?
Oh, God. I don't know. Throwing a name in the dark. John Woo?
No, maybe.
Maybe. Do we have some doves we could throw in there?
Oh, let's hope.
Oh, man.
We have a couple speedboats. Can we throw those in there?
Absolutely. Let's make them fight, and then they flip, and they blow up. It'll be awesome.
Sounds good. All right. His number three is... James wakes up. He finds himself tied to the hood of a Mustang. Behind the wheels is his love interest in the movie, who has her hands handcuffed to the steering wheel. Over the car radio, he hears a voice. "Mr. Bond, listen carefully if you want to live. This car is equipped with enough explosives to blow up a city block. You have one chance to live. Deliver the package inside the car to this address, and we will let you go."
I think we're doing a parody of Speed on this one this time.
Mm-hmm. I took it as the a parody of the Transporter.
Transporter and, yeah, okay.
But I'm not sure why he has to be strapped to the hood of the Mustang.
You know, because...
Because women can't drive. That's why. There we go. Just kidding, ladies. Just kidding. But his number two is, James wakes up in a small wooden boat. He looks around him and it's all ocean as far as the eyes can see. In the boat, he finds a note with only the words, good luck on them. He's trapped in the middle of the ocean with no land in sight.
I wonder if James would then, like, channel his Aquaman and start making, like, jet skis out of dolphins.
Sure, sure. So his number one. So this one is the most messed up one I could think of. Oh, boy. James. Excuse me. James wakes up in a dark room. He tries to look around him, but realizes that he can't. His face is stuck somehow. All of a sudden, the light turns on, and he sees that his face is attached to the butt of a woman in front of him.
No.
The love interest of the movie.
No.
From the back of the room, James hears a bad German accent. Mr. Bond, are you familiar with the movie Human Centipede? I have attached your mouth to the anus of the woman in front of you. I have fed her a poison that will kill her slowly over a long period of time. The poison will spread from her body to yours. Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh. Oh boy. What Pandora's box have we opened,
oh,
sir?
Oh, God.
You guys are sadistic bastards.
Ugh.
Thank you for listening, though.
But we love you.
But we love you.
I mean, is there a worse way to go than being human centipeded?
No.
I mean,
there is no worse way.
I think that's it.
I mean, his list is definitely the worst villain traps ever. The most devious,
God.
Evil, awful, terrible.
And just, now I just imagine the ba-da-ba-da as you look at him with his head. You're like, oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, James.
What if that's James Bond's next movie?
God.
The Human Centipede.
I honestly cannot allow myself to go to that place. God.
Wow, that was terrifying. Guys, well, I want to say thank you for writing in, but I honestly can't say it this
but
week.
Please don't.
Please don't.
Thanks for nothing.
We usually love hearing what you guys have to say, but after this week, my God, guys.
My gentle Jesus.
My gentle Jesus on a cross.
Wow. Yeah, so James, best of luck on those scenarios.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to survive any of them.
Maybe this is why Daniel Craig decided to call it quits with Bond. Like, all right, James, we really got to up it for the next film. So we are going to put you in the middle of a raft, in the middle of the ocean, with your mouth sewn to the end. And Daniel Craig's like, you know what? I'm out. Yeah, I'm done. You know what? Forget it. Forget this whole thing.
But no. Hear us out. There's this John Woo movie that we're taking some plot liberties from.
Yeah.
The Face Off. John Travolta's going to star.
No, I'm out.
No, you sure?
No, definitely. Yeah. If John Travolta's mouth is going to be attached to my anus, I'm out. I got to say I'm out.
How different would the Human Centipede be if it was A-list actors?
Wow.
It was like Daniel Craig, John Travolta, and like fucking Meryl Streep.
You know she'd get nominated for an Oscar for it.
Oh, yeah. As the middle.
As the middle-peed.
The middle-peed.
Oh.
Now, you've seen that movie, right?
I have seen the first one.
Wow. And has your life changed since then?
Yeah, I had part of my brain removed so I'd forget what happened to me.
Wow. Instant lobotomy.
Instant lobotomy.
I love it, man.
It's just an awful, awful thing. And actually, I don't feel the need to discuss it anymore. I feel as if it's time to move this train on.
Well, guys, honestly, thank you all for writing in. We love hearing what you guys have to say.
Even your dark, perverted Bond-killing fantasies.
And it's so interesting to see just how evil our listeners are.
Yes.
A lot of evil people out there. But, Steve, we cannot live in the past, and from last week, I don't want to live in the past anymore. So let's move forward. What is this week's top five?
Well, it's big sports time right now. We're coming into Thanksgiving.
You know how much I love sports.
Love sports. Mm-hmm. You're going to sit around, eat some turkey, watch some football.
Yeah, the game with the oval-shaped ball.
You know it. That's so we're counting down our top five favorite sports movies.
That's right. Now, we're just doing movies, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, because normally whenever I say that, you say, well, it's movies, TV, and video games, you dummy.
Yeah, I'm not. Sports video games are too. No. Just no.
NHL 2K16?
No.
Not on there for you?
No. No.
Well, if we're not doing TV shows, I have to mention Friday Night Lights is an incredible TV show.
Yeah.
Love it, love it, love it.
Yeah. So I'm going to leave. I just went with films.
Okay.
Because there are just so many sports movies.
There are way too many.
There's so many.
I think they've told all the stories that can be told.
And so many of them are real good.
Yeah.
So they're just like fun.
Mm-hmm.
But there is that, you know, narrow line at the top. There's that cream of the crop, just the tops.
Yeah, of course.
So
there are so many. I listed out. I don't know how you usually do top fives, but I usually just list out a bunch of ideas, and then I put like little marks next to the ones I want on my top five. I marked 7 out of my top out of five or out of the my list. So I had to leave one off that you are going to be mad at me, I think, for leaving off, especially when I tell you what I replaced it with. So how about I start this
week? Let's do that.
I'll tell you after our top fives what I left off and what I replaced it with. Well, I replaced it with my number 5, which is a movie that I used to love in high school. And to be honest, I haven't seen it since then because I'm afraid to go back and watch it. But I've seen this movie over 24 times. Used to love it. It's called Remember the Titans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a decent movie.
Yeah.
I remember loving it. But it told like, you know, the story of back when America was very, you know, how do I want to say this, Steve?
Racist?
Yes. How about that?
When they were racist?
Yep.
Yeah.
Super duper racist.
Yeah.
And these white, I don't know why I'm so awkward talking about this.
Yeah. This is... I mean, it's not good, but it's not like this is like, look, no one has ever told this story besides the fact that they made a fucking movie about it. And we've been telling this story in our history for years and years. Yeah. There's a bunch of white kids and some black kids on the football team. They don't get along. And Denzel Washington is the coach. A lot of people don't like that he's an African-American coach down in it's Alabama, right? Or rural Alabama.
Sure.
It's somewhere in the deep south.
Yeah.
They don't like that there's a black football coach, and the white kids don't like the black kids on the team, but Denzel Washington whips their butts together and teaches them how to be a team together, and
they show the town how, you know, not being racist is a pretty cool way to be.
It's like, hey, guess what? You could spend a whole lot of time being racist jerks to everybody, or we could kick everybody's ass in football.
And it's a great kind of underdog story, I want to say. And it's I just remember loving all those. That movie is just loaded down with so many rousing speeches.
Sure.
It's like every scene ends with a rousing speech.
I mean, I think that you just hit two of the things that make sports movies so great.
Mm-hmm.
Is because in the really good ones, you generally have two things that happen throughout. You have the underdog, you know, that rises up and beats the, you know, unbeatable odds. And right before they do it, there's the speech.
Yeah.
Sports speeches are so good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's number two next to, like, the rousing war speech, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. It's right there.
And the writers of this movie, they took that and they were like, you know what? We got to have, like, rousing sports speeches. Like, what if we had 24 sports speeches?
Yeah!
The more the merrier.
It's like, sweetheart, could you just, when you go out, could you get some milk and eggs? Listen to me, milk and eggs. Take a knee, milk and eggs. We're going to go out. We're going to get more of you. We're going to find them. They're going to be at the store. They're going to be lost. They're going to be cold. They're going to be in a fridge. But we're going to grab them. We're going to bring your brothers home. We're going to bring them home. Linda, my wife, do you hear me? Are we going to go get the groceries?
Yeah!
To the grocery store!
And they all run out in full pads.
You see eggs with eye black on them.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. Every single character has a rousing sports speech
that's
in that
awesome.
Movie. So, yeah, that's my number 5. Remember the Titans.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, this particular list, there's it's like the most categorized way I thought about these movies in a long time, where I'm like, oh, these are this group of movies I remember so well from early 90s. This was like my high school one. This is these kind of baseball movies go together, these ones. So I was trying to get a little bit of several different ones. But man, my favorite one from the like my early 90s childhood one is going to be Rookie of the Year.
Is that the one with the kid who has the arm that he can pull
yep.
back?
Henry Rowan Gardner? Yep.
I don't know how you yep. pulled that name out.
Oh, I know it. Okay. Yeah. Dude, I loved it. I'm not saying it's the best one of that era.
Thank God you're not saying that.
I love that particular movie. I mean, so for those who are not familiar with the movie, Rookie of the Year, dude, little like 8-9-year-old, whatever, 10-year-old kid, huge diehard Cubs fan. And of course, it's the 90s, the Cubs are terrible. Nobody's at Wrigley Field, you know. He falls out of a tree, breaks his arm, but he does something to the tendons where they, in his cast, the arm snaps forward and he can all of a sudden can throw like 130 miles an hour or something mm-hmm. like that. So the way he finds out is a home run ball gets hit to the outfield where he's in the bleachers. And they're like, you know, as tradition to throw the ball back onto the field, like throw it back. So he locks it back and he looks at his arm and he fires a bullet from the bleachers to the catcher at home, like knocks him backwards. And of course the Chicago Cubs sign that kid to be their pitcher. And it's phenomenal, man. Just little kid going into like the major league clubhouse. And you know, you've got the grizzled veteran that's all his body's falling apart on him. It's his last hurrah, you know. And he
for
starts,
some reason, I imagine Nick Nolte in that role.
I think it is. If it's not Nick Nolte, it's the guy that they wanted to get Nick Nolte. Ah, you look close enough to Nick Nolte. It's not Nick Nolte, but it's very similar. And then, of course, it's Henry Rowan Gardner's favorite player. He starts falling in love with Henry Rowan Gardner's single mom, mm-hmm. and they fall in love. But I'm going to get a little spoiler. If you've not seen it, you're about 20 years too late. So here's the spoiler. So it goes the final game. He loses the power in his arm. It's back to a regular arm. So now he's throwing like 35-mile-an-hour gas. That's it. Mm-hmm. And he's up against the biggest home run hitter in the league, basically to win the game. And his mom, classic line of my childhood, like, just, is it float it or lob it in? It's like, just lob it. So Henry Rowan Gardner, underhand soft tosses, the game-winning strike against the best home run hitter in the league.
Wow.
Oh, dude. Amazing.
Isn't the biggest home run – I can't remember if this is the movie or not, but I just remember this huge, burly-looking black guy, and, like, he's looking like a fierce bear of a guy.
He's white, but yes. He's okay. A huge – like, with the goatee, big, burly dude, yeah, and he's super aggressive up at the plate. Like, he already hit a home run off him. Yeah,
he's eating like a big leg of turkey as he comes up.
Honestly, I think he's got chew in his mouth. And yeah, he's intense. Definitely. Sure. Yeah, I love Rookie of the Year. So that's. I will mention some of the other ones of this era perhaps later.
Is your number four most valuable primate?
Yo, you've seen it.
God damn it!
Number
Steve.
Five is as a Rookie of the Year.
Sure. My number four, so I love ragtag groups, underdog stories. So the first one I ever saw, and I probably wore out the VHS. That's right. I said goddamn VHS, is the original The Mighty Ducks.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Classic.
Absolutely.
I'm not talking about the sequels, although I do remember liking D2.
D2's great.
But now that I think back on it, I wonder if it's as great as we remember.
I mean, there's... Most of these have a certain nostalgia to them that cannot be replicated.
No.
But, I mean, they're still fun, good movies, you know?
I will still, again, I haven't seen it in 15 years, but I still believe that The Mighty Ducks is a really solid movie.
It does. It holds up. I saw it like 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first type of movie I've seen. It's all ragtag, these group of disparate kids with all, and some of them they're all nerd. Like, one's a nerd, one's a smartass.
The cowboy.
One's a cowboy. Well, no, that's in D2.
Is that 2? Okay.
That's D2. And then they come across this huge bully, but he's got this incredible, I don't remember what it's
slap
called.
Shot.
Just incredible slap shot that, like, oh, God, like, people are afraid to catch in their goalie's mitt or whatever that's called. It's just a great a movie. And, like, Emilio Estevez is a disgraced coach.
Yeah.
He's such an asshole to the kids.
He doesn't want
to
be there. I think doesn't he have to do it out of community service?
Or something like that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Gordon.
Bombay.
Gordon Bombay.
That's right.
But, of course, he's like, oh, you little bastard kids. Blah, 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 blah. And by the end, he's like, together, like what the speech is. What
together we will get that milk and eggs.
No, it's like we fly. It's something we fly together.
Ducks fly together.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's when they do the quack quack.
Oh,
quack,
that's right. Quack. And you can't forget the soft-spoken kid with the heart of gold. That's surprisingly good if he just had the right coach.
Yeah,
and that coach.
Gordon
Bombay.
Gordo Bombay.
Or Cole Gordy Bombay.
Gordy Bobo. And of course, obviously, I think, I don't know if a week has gone by since I've seen this movie the first time that I do not make some sort of Flying V reference at some point.
Yeah, of course. And goddamn, my phone has been going off for the past, like, 3 minutes.
Is that Gordo Bombay?
It's Gordo Bombay.
He's like, ducks fly together.
Can I just say, for those of you out there, if I don't pick up when you call me, don't immediately try calling me back.
Fair.
I'll give you a call when I'm goddamn good and ready.
All right, so you're number four.
My number four is The Mighty Ducks.
Well, my number four is also going to take place on the ice, but I'm going with the movie Miracle.
That was an honorable mention.
Miracle is it has the formula, man. Mm-hmm. It has got the formula. The thing that adds to this is that it is historically accurate. This is a loose telling of what actually happened. And again, we talked about underdog versus the ragtag bunch of American amateur hockey players never played together against the greatest hockey team ever assembled, the Soviet Union. Their red team. And in real life, I watched a documentary about them. They are unbelievably good. They're vilified in the United States, obviously, because they're the Russians. It was the Cold War. And they were unbeatable until America with the greatest upset in sports history.
Mm-hmm.
But ragtag bunch of group of guys. Kurt Russell. Great coaching in there.
Fighting aliens.
He's fighting aliens. He's got an eye patch. He has a phenomenal speech in that one as well.
Yeah.
Phenomenal speech. So just...
Is it about dairy products?
Always about dairy, man. I will not be motivated unless I get the dairy in there.
All right. You're not lactose intolerant when it comes to your sports speeches.
No. Great. It's got everything it needs, and it's also a Disney movie, so it's got just the right amount of cheese on the top there.
Sure.
Just enough.
Yeah.
And what I also liked about it, too, is that it's a ragtag bunch of, misfits, but it's not star-studded, It's a bunch of just – they're like amateur actors, It's not like, oh, there's Chris Hemsworth and – whoever else. It's just a bunch of dudes, so you can't kind of like peg them off the bat already. The only one you really know in there is Kurt Russell, and he's awesome. So
yeah, I remember this dude had a few episodes on Friends. That's the only thing I knew him from.
Yeah, there's really nothing. Maybe they've done something since, but at the time, nothing.
And sure.
Holds up very well. I know it's not as old as Mighty Ducks or a couple of the other ones we've mentioned, but still good, man.
All right.
And it is probably the biggest sporting moment in the history of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't hurt it at all.
Sure.
So I've got Miracle coming in at number four.
That's a good pick, man. I've seen that movie exactly once. I remember liking it, but it's a good pick.
I think it's worth a rewatch.
You think?
Yeah.
All right.
Especially this kind of holiday time as well. It's a good time for that.
Is it a time for miracles, Steve? Is that what you're saying?
That is a time for miracles on ice.
Oh, boy.
It is a time. This is my rousing song of I didn't want to do a speech this time, so it's a rousing song.
Steve, I don't think you're going
to
inspire.
It's time for Miracles on Ice. You need to defeat the Soviets.
The only thing you're inspiring me to do is to end our friendship.
Good, I'll keep going.
Oh, boy. No, my number three is a little movie entitled Million Dollar Baby.
Really? I'm surprised this is on your list.
I love this movie.
Really?
I think it's great.
I do, too.
Because, well, I'll just give you a little spoiler right now. Nah, never mind. You'll find out. It's no secret that I used to love wrestling growing up, and boxing is just like the cousin of wrestling. And so this movie, it had awesome boxing scenes, and like apparently Hilary Swank trained for months and gained like 20 pounds of muscle for this goddamn movie, which is insane to me. And yeah, it tells a great story, and it has such a heartbreaking ending.
Yeah.
And stellar performances all around. And
yeah, Morgan Freeman won the Oscar for this film.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, for Best Supporting Actor. This film won Best Picture.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I think it was 06, maybe.
Didn't Hilary Swank win, or was she nominated or something?
She was nominated. I don't know. She might have won. She might have won. I know Morgan Freeman won, though.
Yeah. But, yeah. Hilary Swank, Clint Eastwood, Morgan Freeman, all those other people in the movie.
Well, so I think most people know this as well about Million Dollar Baby, that if you're really interested, give us 45, give us 1 minute of talking about Million Dollar Baby if you don't want to know about it. But speaking about what we were just talking about, the normal components into sports movies, you see the tough trainer that doesn't really like her and mm-hmm. Trying to earn his respect. Oh, now she's getting better. She's going to be the champ. And this movie's very different now. Oh, this is not the movie I thought I was watching.
Yeah, Hillary, get up. Yeah. Get up.
Oh, shit, she's not getting
up.
She's
not getting up.
It is almost two entirely different films.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what you're watching, what to expect when you start watching, you're like, oh, God.
Oh, it's tough, dude.
Yeah, great movie, though.
Like, that happens, and you still have about 20 minutes left of movie to go.
If not more, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, Ricky Lindholm, she's a comedian out in L.A. She has a little minor role at the end there as her sister, I think, or bitchy cousin or something. Anyway, but yeah, dude, heartbreaking and heartwarming up to that point.
Yeah, and like you said, very, very well acted, well written. Everything about the movie is really, really great. But it's one of those movies, too, that you're like, oh, no, I really like it. Do you want to watch it?
No.
Mm-mm.
Can I watch maybe about 3/5 of it?
Yeah, I would love to watch that first part. Great. But I got to go, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I gots to go.
That final match, I'm going to have to go to the bathroom for about 25 minutes.
So, good pick, though. Good pick.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
All right. I, too, take a bit of a serious turn with my number three. Mm-hmm. This is actually a particular entry into one of my favorite series. I guess maybe this is kind of TV. It's from the 30 for 30 series of documentaries that ESPN has done.
I thought you were going to be like Air Bud 2 on Ice or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, not 2. Air Bud 2.
Golden Retriever.
Golden Retriever is amazing. So if you want to talk about my number one, we do it right now.
Or Golden Receiver. I fucked up the pun.
No, it's Golden Retriever.
No, it's the actual title of the movie is Golden Receiver. It's a pun on Golden Retriever.
Okay. Anyway, my actual number three.
Why are we arguing about this?
My real number three. By the way, didn't we look this up? That there are, I think there are 13 Air Bud movies.
That is insane to me.
It is insane. The number is insane. If it's not 13, it is in the teens.
Yeah. And wait, isn't it like the last six Air Buddies or something like that?
Yeah, the puppy ones. Yeah. There's the franchise is enormous.
Yeah.
Anyway, not my number three. Nothing to do with Air Bud.
But it should be.
But it should be.
Oh.
Man. My number three is an entry into the ESPN 30 for 30 series, which is a series of documentaries that they've made that kind of go beyond the context of the sports. Like we were just talking about the hockey team for the Soviets. they did an awesome one where they follow that team and they showed how the team was built and what it meant to the Soviet Union. And it was awesome. It was a really cool view. But my number three is called The Two Escobars. And it is phenomenal. It's one of the best documentaries I've ever seen, period. But the basic gist of this is in the early 90s, there's two particular Escobars from Colombia that are rising to fame for two very, very different reasons. There's Pablo Escobar, which you've probably heard of, the biggest drug crime lord of the last 25, 30 years.
I know him for his tremendous singing voice.
Ah, yes. And, man, just like an angel.
Like an angel.
He's a coke kingpin, has more money than God. Mm-hmm. He actually lost some of his money to bugs and water because he had so much money. It was just, like, stacked in sheds. He lost, like, millions of dollars because of bugs.
Jesus.
Yeah, he had so much money. While he's rising to power, basically the face of soccer is, it's Escobar or something. Mm-hmm. And he's the Michael Jordan of that country for soccer. Mm-hmm. So what happens is Pablo Escobar, the drug crime lord, uses his money to fuel Colombian soccer because he loves soccer. Mm-hmm. So he builds up the Colombian team with all this illegal money. He flies world famous soccer players to his giant fortress to play private games for him on his own pitch there. So it's the story of these two people rising at the same time. And then soccer player Escobar in the World Cup in 1994.
Oh, his parents named him that? I mean, he was ruined from the beginning.
Something Escobar.
Yeah.
He scores what's called an own goal, as in he goes to pass back to his own goalie. Goalie didn't know it was coming, and he scores on his own team. And they were favorites to win the whole thing. They end up losing, and people lose their minds. So it's the rise of both of these people together and then the fall of both of these people together. And it is amazing. You don't have to be a fan of soccer. You don't have to be a fan of sports necessarily. It is the story behind the sports. That, like, for us in America, all we would have seen is, like, oh, wow, like, Colombia scored an own goal and got themselves kicked out of the World Cup. Wah, wah. Mm-hmm. Not the case. There's so, so much more to the story, and it's awesome. It's unbelievably entertaining, and I highly, highly, highly recommend. I still think it is on Netflix right now. They have a bunch of the 30 for 30s on there.
Mm-hmm.
So The Two Escobars is awesome, especially if you like documentaries at all.
Sure.
Fantastic.
Yeah, man. I don't normally go for documentaries. I think they're fine, but that does sound really interesting.
It's real good.
Whenever you say 30 for 30, I think of the Morgan Spurlock TV show, like 30 Days.
Yeah.
Like, but it's obviously completely different.
Since I really like documentaries, and I actually really like Morgan Spurlock for the most part as mm-hmm. well, I was really excited when 30 Days came out. And I think it's the very first episode or the second episode, and it's My Life on Minimum Wage.
Okay.
And he and his wife, they move somewhere, and they do it for 30 days, obviously the whole crux of the show, and they live on minimum wage. But whatever the job is that he got for this time, he hurts his shoulder or something. Not like horribly bad, but he hurts it. And he shows that they can't even afford the health care to fix his shoulder, but he can't go back to work because the shoulder's messed up. And he shows how impossible it is to live on minimum wage in the United States. And I watched that episode, and it is fantastic. It is a great episode.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, my God. He's going to do a different one of these every week? This is going to be amazing. And I watched, like, seven other ones, and they
not
are
as good.
Not nearly as good. Not nearly as good.
Isn't it? Like, I mean, you'd have to run out of things at some point. It's got to be like 30 Days Painted Blue.
Do you perform for the Blue Man Group? No, no. I just paint myself.
30 Days Eating Eggs for every meal.
All right, Eggs, come here. You take a knee, Eggs. Listen up. We got 30 days. But anyway, so a little honorable mention. Not honorable mention on the list, but honorable mention in the regard of documentaries. Also, check out that 30 days. But
can you imagine the 31st day? It's like, hey, what do you want for breakfast? Not eggs.
Well, that's what he did for Supersize Me, which is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love Super Size Me.
That I do remember that documentary. That was really good.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
So The Two Escobars is my number three.
All right, my number two is another boxing movie.
Yeah, boxing movies are good, man.
They're so good. And to me, fighting movies are way more interesting to watch than other sports movies. Okay. I know. But my number two... Yeah, I just automatically assume you're going to attack me after every declarative statement I say.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad I've gotten you into a corner of fear.
Yeah. So I just automatically be like, I know, Steve, I know.
No, man. Boxing movies and fighting movies in general oftentimes are the best.
Okay. Well, my number two is Rocky.
Great, because my number one is Rocky.
Oh. Wonderful.
Yeah, it's okay. No, you suck!
I know, Steve. I know. It's a pick from out of nowhere. A deep cut, Rocky.
Yeah.
Just a great boxing movie. What can we say that has already been said? A total underdog film.
Obviously.
The Italian Stallion versus Apollo Creed, the heavyweight champion of the world. And the dude, spoilers for Rocky, like fights him to a draw.
Yeah.
The heavyweight champion of the world versus what? Like this guy who punches meat to train.
Right. And I like that he doesn't win the championship necessarily in, not necessarily. He doesn't win the championship in Rocky I. But it's still a totally satisfactory ending.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you always expect it to, work his way from the bottom and then become a heavyweight champion of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good enough that he pushes him to the limit. That's good enough.
He gives him a fight of his life.
But, it's written and directed and starring Sylvester Stallone.
That's right.
One best picture that year,
mm-hmm.
And also one best original screenplay that year, I think, as well.
Sure.
I mean, super iconic moments. The running up the stairs at Philadelphia, and the neighborhood guys like chasing him as he's doing the training, and
the shouting for Adrian at the end.
Yes, it's great, great film. And there's a reason it should be at the top of people's list, because it's just awesome.
It's just great.
And I don't know the last time you watched Rocky, but it is good.
Yeah.
It still holds up, man.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And that it is a film.
It is a film. It is. Last time I watched Rocky was probably about 5 years ago.
Okay.
So, yeah, definitely still good.
To rank the other Rockies.
I've only seen Rocky 2.
God!
Well, Rocky 3 versus Mr. T.
Right.
Rocky 4 versus, the Russian robot or something?
Yeah, the Ivan Drago.
Yeah, and then number 5 is like he trains a bunch of kids.
No, he fights Tommy Gunn.
Sure. But I have seen Rocky Balboa, and that one was freaking good, too.
Are you interested in seeing Creed?
Nope. What is... I take it it's a sequel?
Yeah,
prequel?
It is. Yeah. So now Sylvester Stallone, Rocky has... He's become Mick. Mm-hmm. He's become the trainer for Apollo Creed's son.
Whoa.
And Apollo Creed's son is... Oh, God, I'm blanking on his name.
Tom Hardy.
He's the guy... No. No, Apollo Creed gave birth... His wife gave birth to Tom Hardy. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Tom... It's
Jet Li.
It's the guy from Fruitvale Station. He was on The Wire as a kid.
Oh.
Michael...
B. Jordan.
Yes, Michael B. Jordan. Michael B. Jordan is Apollo Creed's kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually... It doesn't look terrible.
Sure.
It does not look terrible.
I mean, I think people naturally... I certainly do. I react to that like, oh, come on, Hollywood. Think of something new. But, I mean, Rocky Balboa was a really... good movie.
So this is now going to be essentially Rocky 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1 through 5, Rocky Balboa, and now there will be Creed.
Which ones have you seen?
All of them.
Even the 6th one?
Yes.
What did you think of the 6th one?
I thought Rocky Balboa was good.
Yeah.
That had the potential to just be a monumental flop.
Yeah.
Just be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't. It was fine.
Yeah.
I didn't hate my time with it. It was fine.
Sure.
Rocky 5 is the worst, without a doubt. Rocky 5 sucks so hard.
So, which ones would you recommend me watch?
1 through 4.
1 through 4?
Yeah.
I've heard 4 is awful.
No. Well, it kind of is.
Can you look me in the eye and tell me that it's good?
See, Rocky 4 was my favorite Rocky for so long.
Yeah.
But then that is one that does not
hold up at all.
Something I haven't even, I'm not even clear on. Is Ivan Drago a robot?
No.
Why do I hear that he's a robot?
Because he is, the way he is trained in the film, he is a fighting machine. That is all he does. He's like genetically, he's like a test tube fighter, if you will. Okay. He fights in like a lab with all the top of the line training, all this monitoring stuff, and like so Rocky has to go back to kind of his roots, and he's running through the like, on top of a mountain and lifting logs, you know. Well, they
punching
show
meat
exactly, you know, like Rocky is wont to do, and Ivan Dragov is like computers are hooked up to him. He's on a treadmill with like an oxygen machine, and you know, so he's. Mm-hmm. It's like technology versus the old school. It's Soviets versus America. It's so fun and it's so bad.
Is it Miracle in the Ring?
talking about rousing speeches, this has the worst, the worst speech probably ever. It's of course Rocky wins and they're fighting in the Soviet Union, and he's just got his ass handed to him by, you know, Ivan Drago, but at the end, you know, he somehow pulls through. He's got all these fucking Russians around that don't speak English, and he's like, "Hey! Hey! I mean, you cheered for me! And we can... America! We can be friends! Yeah!" It's like, holy shit, Rocky. They're launching nukes right now. They're launching nukes right now because of you.
You started World War III.
My God, Rocky, just shut up.
But wait, but wait. Hold on. Stop the nukes.
Oh, shit. And in news today, Rocky Balboa got us all killed. Like, now I imagine Rocky V is him, like, on a jet plane, jumping off a plane, punching a bomb in the air to, like, save everyone's life.
Hey, that would have been a much cooler movie.
It would have been so much better than Rocky V. Oh, my God, V sucks so hard.
All right, well, I'm not going to promise you I'll go back and watch him. But, you know, if I see him, I might.
Okay, so that was your number dos.
Number dos.
So it brings me to my numero dos. And which is gonna, good, I get to bump mine up, which I'm totally fine with. So that means I get to throw in an honorable mention. So, God, there's just so many.
I know.
It's just, and people are gonna be so pissed at some of these I left off. Mm-hmm. I won't mention all of them because it could be your number one. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I'm gonna throw one in that I love. Nobody else will probably agree with me, and I don't care. I'm going with basketball.
Yeah, I figured.
I just want to have it in there.
I figured that it would make your top five.
It was not my top five. It is an honorable mention. There's so many. I'm not saying, again, it's not the best one. I just love it.
Yeah.
I just love basketball. I love those guys. I especially love this era of Matt and Trey when they did Orgasmo and this. And it's just, they haven't quite found their voice yet, you know, but they're still just really funny dudes.
Uh-huh.
And it's just so, like, juvenile with the comedy and some of the jokes. And like, he shoots milk out of his nipple somehow. And like,
wow.
It's ridiculous. And their little friend, they just continually beat the shit out of. There's great physical comedy. Just really, like, classic kind of 70s-style jokes. Where the old owner of the team has Jenny McCarthy as his trophy wife.
Mm-hmm.
He says something like, yeah, she can suck the chrome off a trailer hitch. And in the next scene, you see Jenny McCarthy with silver lipstick, and she drops a trailer hitch. She's like, all right, I'm done with this one. What's next? It's just so airplane-esque, that kind of humor is in there. So like, I love that. It's great, man. It's great.
All right. Well, my number one, and I'm wondering if this is your number two.
I would be shocked.
All right. My number one is a movie that I've talked about a few times before. It's a movie called Warrior.
Nope, didn't make my list.
Love this movie. I love this movie. It tells a great story of brother versus brother. It tells a story of a basically a mixed martial arts tournament. And both with a prize being like something ludicrous, like $10 million or something like that. And two brothers enter it, and their fighting styles are different. One's like a consummate wrestler, submission guy, and one's just a brawler, like one punch your out kind of dude. And they both enter this movie, or this tournament for different reasons. And of course, the final match is brother versus brother. And to be honest, you don't know who to root for.
Yeah.
Because they both have their backstories are so relatable and understandable.
But very, very different.
Very, very different. And even like, the first half of the movie, which is just them gearing up for the tournament, is incredibly interesting. But then the last half of the movie with all the fights, these are some of the best fights you will see on film.
It's really good.
It's really freaking good.
And it's one of the only movies I can think of that's focused on mixed martial arts.
Yeah.
You know, so again, a lot of the boxing stuff we talked about is very similar, you know, the way they shoot the fights in the the way they punch each other in the face and they film it on cameras and it's really good.
That's right, Steve. They film it on cameras and it's really good.
Yeah, it's good.
Great. I love your running commentary.
Oh, thank you. You're right. You know what? I forgot about this movie until you brought it up a couple months ago. I was like, God, that is a damn good movie.
It is.
And you're right. It is real good.
I love it. Love it a lot.
Did not make my list because I thought it'd be on your list.
Mm-hmm.
So before we reveal my number one, there's a couple honorable mentions. I'm not going to go into depth on them.
Sure.
But this, basically, it's kind of like my early 90s pack of movies.
Okay.
That is The Sandlot, Little Giants, The Big Green Machine.
Yep, yep.
Rookie of the Year is in there. And also Angels in the Outfield.
Yep,
is in
I remember
there.
That.
And another one I loved was Little Big League, where the kid inherits the baseball team.
Yep.
So he doesn't play, but he's the manager. And so 12-year-old kid managing a baseball team. Isn't
it Wesley Snipes in that one?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
I love.
We'll have to look that up. But
though that kind of early 90s. Did I mention Little Giants? Little
yes.
Giants in there for sure.
That's a great movie.
I love that era of sports movies.
A lot of these are the ragtag group of misfits.
Absolutely.
Coming together.
And like The Sandlot is probably the best one out of all of those. Probably.
Sure.
I just love Rookie of the Year more.
Sure.
And I left off Happy Gilmore.
That almost made my list.
Yep, left that off. I left off, which is very hard to leave off, was Bull Durham and Major League.
Sure.
And I'm not as big a fan of like A League of Their Own, or I'm really not a huge fan of Field of Dreams, which I know is weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And people would be probably super pissed I left off Caddyshack. But I feel like this movie is way more important to other people than it was to me. It's funny. I like
sure,
it.
Sure, 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 sure.
But with all those honorable mentions, they just had to have the briefest of mentions because they're all so good. But I'm going back to the world of the documentary.
Okay.
And I saw this film maybe 2-3 years ago, and it completely changed the way I looked at racing. And it is a movie called Senna.
Oh, sure, sure.
Have you seen Senna?
No, but you've talked about it before, and I'm very interested.
I did. I'll bring it up again now. Senna is the story of the F1 race car driver in the, I think it's the 70s into the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
He's Ayrton Senna, I believe. Ayrton Senna?
I have no idea.
Last name is Senna. That's the important thing. And he was the most dominant race car driver of his era. And it's kind of, it shows you his rise and how he revolutionized racing and also how he dies. And one of the most fascinating things about it, I think he dies in like 1980 or something like that, mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
And there were F1 at the time was just a sport for wild men. Mm-hmm. I mean, these cars barely had safety regulations. They're flying around these wet tracks at like, 100 whatever miles per hour. People dying left and right. He revolutionized the safety component of it as well. Nobody died after Senna died in an F1 car from like 1980 whatever until this last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a total freak accident what happened this last year. It shouldn't have happened anyway, but
eaten by a bear.
There's only so many precautions you can take when a wandering bear goes out onto a racetrack and just starts eating drivers. I mean, they talk about it in F1 school. There's Bear Mace in all of the cars.
Sure, I mean, they had their shotguns, but they only took off 6% of health.
They're like, oh, no, fall out! So a guy just died in this last year. But it's a documentary that watches like an action movie. It has all of the things we talk about for all these underdog that grew up from nowhere to just has this incredible talent that rises to the top. He has these other challenges that come. It doesn't even feel like you're watching a documentary. It is just this awesome movie about this race car driver. But every single thing about it is true, and it's awesome. And I'm going to give it just a little side honorable mention to the more theatrical kind of inspired part of this, and that's the movie Rush.
Yep.
I love the movie Rush. I would highly recommend watching Senna first, then go watch Rush. It's not about the same dudes, but it's about the same kind of era of racing, and you get to see a couple different sides of it. And now I have a totally new respect for racing after watching those couple of movies. It's awesome.
Sure, sure. No, you telling me about these movies, like, I have no interest in NASCAR or whatever.
F1 racing.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have any interest in that, but, like, you describing these movies, I want to see them and give them a chance.
Especially because...
Dreamboat Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, my God, and he is a dreamy. Sweet, sweet dreamies.
So the movie that I bumped from my list to put Remember the Titans on was Rudy.
Yeah.
And I thought you'd be mad, but I realized I misremembered. I thought you absolutely loved the movie Rudy. I was thinking of our friend Carl, who loves that movie.
No, I used to love Rudy.
Yeah.
I used to love Rudy. And it always made the end of it always gets me.
Yeah, sure.
It always fucking gets me, man. Man tears every time.
Man tears.
Man tears.
Yeah. Also, you have to mention Hoosiers.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Hoosiers?
I've seen Hoosiers once. Like,
okay.
I feel like it's a classic.
Yeah.
But I feel like these other movies overshadow it. But it's worth a mention.
It's definitely a classic. It's one I just don't enjoy as much as the other ones.
Sure, of course. Radio is a movie that's awful. That's freaking terrible.
Yeah.
Nobody should mention it ever.
Good.
But I just think it's funny that Cuba Gooding Jr. has, weird teeth in that movie. And so that's worth a mention in of itself.
Seriously, Radio is so bad.
It's so awful.
But, like, it's almost bulletproof and brilliant in the way where it's like, Radio, that movie fucking sucks. And it's like, are you talking about an Oscar winner who's playing a mentally handicapped, like, African-American man who loves football? It's like, yes, I understand. It seems politically incorrect to say I dislike this movie, but it has nothing to do with that. This movie just fucking sucks.
Isn't Cuba's one line he just says his name all the time? Yeah. Radio? That's all he says?
It's terrible, man.
It's awful.
It's such a bad movie.
Why are we talking about it?
Why are we talking about it?
I don't know. Steve, what's your top five in review?
My top five in review, we're gonna start out with Rookie of the Year. We're going to go to The Miracle on Ice, number 4. We're going to go to the two Escobars, the 30 for 30. And then number 2 is actually the documentary Senna. And then number 1, Rocky, baby.
My number 5 was Remember the Titans. My number 4 is The Mighty Ducks. My number 3 is Million Dollar Baby. My number 2 is Rocky. And my number 1 is Radio. Oh, I mean, my number 1 is Warrior. A couple other movies that I just want to throw in really fast. Ali with Will Smith was a decent boxing movie. Eh. And Space Jam.
Oh, my God. I didn't think about Space Jam.
What a great movie.
Space Jam is that. God, dude. I'm telling you. Maybe it's just because it was, you know, the nostalgic part. But seriously, what era of movies was there more sports movies than that, like, 90 to 95 era?
There's none.
Like, where?
Never.
Show me.
I will not. I cannot.
God, I mean, so many good ones.
Also, the other movie on my honorable mention, Kingpin.
I freaking love Kingpin.
It's great. It's a great movie.
Love Kingpin.
I looked up Wesley Snipes. He was not in Little Big League. He was in Major League. So,
oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Duh. Duh. Yeah. We're big dummies, is what we're trying to say.
Yes.
But guys, there are so many sports movies out there. I mean, shit, we've named like 24.
Just, so many.
Just talking here at the end. So write us in. Let us know what your top five sports movies are.
Yeah, your top five faves.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's so many out there that we probably aren't even thinking of.
We didn't mention Raging Bull either, which is often regarded as the best sports film of all time.
Sure.
That's one of those movies, too, where you're like, oh, man, really well done. I don't want to watch that again for a very long time.
Sure, man. But you can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can email us at 5playnet@gmail.com. Facebook and Twitter.
Oh, I mean, they're right there.
They are right there.
As soon as Wes and I film on a camera a really good boxing match,
yep,
we're good to go.
Also, Instagram as well. That's coming up.
Ooh, yeah.
Also getting some vines in there.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
You can do a vine of your triceps dips.
My triceps dips. I don't think my tricep dips could fill 8 seconds of video. But with all that being said, I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
That was 5.
And we're out.